Hallelujah, praise God. Good morning, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, we give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning and welcome. We recognize the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Could you take a minute and just, well, maybe a few seconds, and just go ahead and say, Father, I thank you for the great gift of the Holy Ghost that you've given unto me. I thank you for the great gift. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Mighty One lives in me. He lives in me to put me over in life. He lives in me, giving me victory. He lives in me, giving me direction. I want you to take a minute, a few seconds again. Just thank the Father. All right, for the revelations he's granted unto us this week. I'm saying this so that, you know, we just give thanks, learning to give thanks, even when we learn something. You know, thank you, Father, for the revelation. We do not take these insights for granted. We do not take these revelations for granted. We give you praise. We give you praise. We honor you. We give you praise. We thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right. Now we've come to the fifth episode on this particular series. All right. The Holy Spirit, God's gift to us. And I believe it's been quite enlightening. I would want to encourage you. Listen all through. Quite helpful, quite instructive, quite helpful. All right, praise God. So we're looking at one important word, and then it just gets stronger, it gets better. So we'll go again, you know, to 1 John, all right, chapter 1 of 1 John, and the third verse, the Amplified, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3, Amplified version. Just so beautiful. Amplified Classic, that is. So John is saying here that what we have seen and ourselves heard, all right, we are also telling you so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, you know, put in parentheses, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So John is saying that we are in fellowship with God. This is big stuff. All right. We're in fellowship with God. So, okay. Now someone says, but the Holy Ghost is not mentioned there. It's a fellowship by the Spirit. Okay. So where you see the Father and then you see the Son, the Holy Ghost is automatically, all right, and definitely involved. All right. So, but I still want to go to 2 Corinthians and the 13th. You know, chapter, the 14th verse. Okay, so it says, the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Okay, the grace, favor. Are you getting that? The grace, favor, spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship. So in bracket, now it puts after fellowship, the communion, the sharing together, and participation in the Holy Ghost, right? Be with you all. So fellowship, communion, all right? I know many believers, you know, hear the word koinonia and all. It's fellowship. It's communion. It's a sharing together. It's a participation. You are involved in what God is doing. God is involved in what you are doing. You are sharing with Him. He's sharing with you. This is, it's big. All right. It's big. It's a union. It's a togetherness. It's a oneness. And you find this, just expressed, maybe I'll say quietly, all through scripture. It's amazingly present. All right. So we see John saying our fellowship is the Father and the Son. And then the Amplified says this fellowship is a distinguishing mark of Christians. Now, we have many people who have different religions all over the world. I mean, their gods are dead. Their gods are not living in their hearts. And their gods are not in fellowship with them. But we have a Father, a loving Heavenly Father, who is alive, at work in us, living in us, in fellowship. So, you know, believers get to say, I really don't hear from God. No, you are His sheep. You are His sheep. He talks to you. He talks to you. So what you need to do is fine tune. Okay, you could get books like How You Can Be Led by the Holy Spirit by Kenneth Hagin and just read. You just fine tune your ability to hear. And just listen and be sensitive to the Spirit. Fellowship is a distinguishing mark. It means you and God could take a long walk and talk. It means no matter how alone you feel, you're never alone. You are now growing in your consciousness of the fact that a greater one is with you and in you. So 1 Corinthians and, you know, the first chapter, the 9th verse, we looked at that about episode 3, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the 9th verse. It says, God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy. Just amplifying. All right. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to His promise and can be depended on. So just trying to expand faithful. So God is faithful. By Him you were called into companionship and participation with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fellowship. Amplified says here in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, companionship, participation. So we've seen partnership. We've seen sharing together. It's all trying to define the same word, fellowship, a companionship. So you and God are always together. God is always with you. You are never alone. a companionship, a participation. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we go to the 6th chapter, all right, of this 1 Corinthians and the 17th verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, a union. We are now joined with him. The day you got born again, you were joined with him. The day you got born again, you were joined with him. You became united with the Lord. You were united with him. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So the 19th verse of this 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you? Do you not know? Do you not know that your body, listen, your body is not a house for sickness. Your body is not a house for disease or virus. Your body is the very sanctuary. That makes it clear. Your body is the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and you are not your own. Whom you have received as a gift from God, and you are not your own. So you've got the Holy Ghost living in you. Let's go to the 3rd chapter and see how beautifully Paul stated it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the 16th verse. Do you not discern and understand that the whole church at Corinth are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually? God's Spirit lives in me permanently. God's Spirit lives in me permanently. The Holy Ghost is at home in me. The Holy Ghost is at home in you. All right? And like I said the other day, if the ark could be in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months and he prospered, what if we just give attention to meditating on this? Things will change. No case is incurable. No case is incurable. No case is incurable. No case is incurable. No case. Nothing at all. Nothing. Because the same Holy Ghost living in you, Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, the same Spirit will give life to your mortal body. No case is incurable. No case is incurable. No case is incurable. Ephesians in the 5th chapter. Now, Ephesians 5, what's here is rather interesting. You know, because of course, you read from the 22nd verse, it begins to talk about wives submitting to their own husbands, right, as unto the Lord, and then husbands, you know, to love their wives. But allow me, all right, go to the 32nd verse, all right? 32nd verse. It says, this mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church. So he's teaching husband, wife, of course. He says, husbands, you know, like Christ, wives, like the church, husbands, like Christ, wives, like the church. So 32 now says, this mystery is very great, but I speak concerning, he says, this is really, I'm using what you know in the natural. This is interesting. Oh, dear Lord. He said, this mystery is very great, but I speak concerning. So he's saying, this is what I'm saying. So I'm only using marriage to explain something. All right. I mean, check that out for yourself. He says, I'm using this to explain. I'm going somewhere. You know, of course, 33 now says, however, I'm still, hey, husband, don't forget what I told you. Wife, don't forget what I told you. So he's not saying he didn't say what he said. He still ended in 33 saying, don't forget what I told you guys. But I'm using your case to explain an ultimate case. So let's see this ultimate case. All right. So verse, let me pick it from where now? I'll just pick it from 27. All right. Okay, just 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So follow Christ and the church here. So Christ gave himself up for you. Are you getting this now? Luke 26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water, by the word. This is showing the work of Jesus Christ on you. So stay again with Paul is saying, this is what I'm saying. Husband and wife, get your lessons in it. But this is where I'm going. Watch 27, that he might present the church to himself in a glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. This is what Jesus did, perfected us by his sacrifice on the cross. All right. And then by the continual work of the same Holy Ghost in our lives, he just keeps doing in us, all right, the workings of what he has already perfected. Are you still with me now? All right. Now, I want you to see something here. Oh, dear Lord, dear Lord. Even so, husbands should love their wives, all right, as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Now, 29, 30. Okay, so 30, I'm going to switch to King James and come back here. I want you to see something. 29, for no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church. Oh my goodness, wow. No man ever yet hates his own flesh, but number one, nourishes, number two, and carefully protects, and number three, cherishes, as Christ the church. You are a member of the church. It means Jesus nourishes you, Jesus carefully protects you, and Jesus cherishes you. Isn't this exciting? Paul says, I'm talking about Christ and the church. So I just come here to see, oh, okay, Jesus nourishes me, Jesus cherishes me, Jesus protects me, Jesus nourishes me, Jesus. So is there something you think you lack in your life? Jesus nourishes you. Do you feel you're abandoned? Jesus protects you carefully. You think you're alone, nobody cares about you. Jesus cherishes you. This is Christ and the church. Everything you need is supplied in Jesus' name because he nourishes you. He nourishes you. Nobody yet hates his flesh. So Jesus cannot hate you. This is Christ and the church. Jesus nourishes you. He cherishes you. He protects you carefully. So 30 here now, you know, the fifth chapter says, because we are members of his body. I like the way the King James puts that verse. All right. In the verse 30, King James says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are members of his body, members of his flesh, members of his bones. So see the level of union we have been brought in. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Ephesians 5 and 30 says, you are members of his body, members of his flesh. That means you can use your faith and say, my body will not break. I'm a member of the body of Christ. That if nothing would ever go wrong with his own body, nothing can go wrong with mine because my body is a member of his body. Do you understand? You're a member of his own body. You're a member of his body. I'm a member of his body. I'm a member of his body. Passion Translation says he serves and satisfies us as members of his body. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Amplify says because we're members, parts of his body. It's just exciting that you are part of something big. You are not alone. Don't look at yourself as, oh, I'm alone. No. You are together with the Holy Ghost. You have been brought in union with the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost lives inside you. The Holy Ghost lives inside you. You are now in fellowship with him. Spirit, soul, body, you are one with him. Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6, 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Soul, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. You have the mind of Christ. Body, Ephesians 5 and 30. You are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Spirit, soul, body, you are in union with the Lord. This is big. All right, let me just drop it right there. It's big. So the Holy Ghost lives in you. Romans 8:11. I know you know it. I quoted it, you know, some minutes ago. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life. Oh, hallelujah. Will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who lives in you. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life. Did you get that now? They said there's something wrong in your body. The Holy Ghost lives in you. He will restore your body to life. You're afraid you might not live long. The Holy Ghost lives in you. He restores your body to life. You're in union with him. And I said yesterday that we can grow in fellowship. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. You can grow in fellowship with him. Take out time. 15 minutes. Meditate. That's aside your prayer time. Minimum 15 minutes. Take out time. Meditate. Meditate. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, for giving me your spirit. Thank you because he lives permanently in me. And I begin to break down who is the spirit. Thank you, Father, because the comforter lives in me. The counselor lives in me. You remember from Amplified, the sevenfold meaning that we got there. You could check your Amplified, all right? Your John chapter 14 and the 16th verse, and also your John chapter 16 verse 7. Amplified gives a sevenfold meaning of the word parakletos. Some Bibles just use comforter, some use helper. So you have seven right there. The strengthener lives in me. The standby, the intercessor, he lives in me. Guys, we're loaded. Heaven loaded us up. God knows if he drops one of us alone in a place, we'll be fine. Because a person in us is the mighty Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John chapter 4. In John 4, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. All right. And then he says to her, you know, give me drink. And then she says, oh, you're not supposed to ask me a drink. I'm Samaritan. You're Jew. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you had only known and had recognized God's gift. So we've been learning God's gift, righteousness, eternal life, now the Holy Ghost. If you had known, if only you had known and recognized God's gift and who this is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead and he would have given you living water. That means there's such a thing as living water. The woman said, sir, I mean, you know, you have nothing to draw with, no drawing bucket, and the well is deep. How then can you provide living water? Where do you get your living water? Are you greater than and superior to our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and used to drink from it himself and his sons and cattle also? I love 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said, all who drink of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall be in him. All right. Oh, hallelujah. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling, continually living, continually within him unto eternal life. That the water will become in this person a spring of water welling up. I'm connecting this now to Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Listen, the Holy Ghost is not in you, all right, like a piece of item in a show glass or a showcase or a showroom. The Holy Ghost is in you to show forth. Are you getting that now? The Holy Ghost is not in you as an item in a showroom. The Holy Ghost is in you to show forth. You can't keep him like he's in a museum and people pass you by and say, oh, there lives the Holy Ghost. Oh, see him. He's been there 345 years. Oh, he's been there, you know, fossilized. No. The Holy Ghost is in you, a mighty river. We need to let him loose. We need to let him loose. He is the greater one, greater than whatever we face, greater than projects ahead of us. We need to let him loose. He needs to be free to function. So John 4 here, and then the 14th verse is saying Jesus will give water, and this water, what would he do? The Passion Translation says, for when you drink the water that I give, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life. Flooding you. Imagine when life is inside you. Let me give you a picture of this. It's like, you know, you've got water somewhere. Maybe you want to have your bath with it. And then you put like a cup of disinfectant into the water somewhere. You just believe the water is good enough to take a bath. Your mind just accepts it. Bible calls the Holy Ghost living water. Anywhere this water flows into, whatever is dead comes alive. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost in you. And is in you like a well of water, blessing everything that has to do with you. And John 7, if you remember, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Ezekiel 47, I'll just read a portion there, you know, was talking about a mighty river flowing from inside the temple. Mighty, powerful river flowing in. I mean, flowing out from a building. Going forth. And then it gets to a point. All right. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 47 says, then he said to me, these waters, living water, guys, these waters pour out towards the eastern region and go down into the Arabah, the Jordan Valley, and into the Dead Sea. Hope you know what a Dead Sea is. The Dead Sea is a sea, you know, it's dead, all right? It's putrid water, it's stagnant, so nothing lives inside of it, all right? All right, flows into the Dead Sea. Watch this. And when they shall, the water flowing now, when they shall enter into this Dead Sea, the sea of putrid water, the water shall be healed and made fresh. And wherever the double river goes, every living creature which swarms shall live. And there shall be very great number of fish because the waters go there. The waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh, and everything shall live wherever the river goes. Everything shall live wherever the river goes. I'm reading the Amplified. All right. Ezekiel 47. All right. Verse 9. How did I get here? By connect. All right. John 7. Jesus said, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So where did the scripture say it? You find it here in Ezekiel 47 that there is a river of living water, that anywhere this river gets to, whatever is dead comes alive. But that John 7, Bible now says Jesus was talking about the Holy Ghost. This is the same Holy Spirit within you. Whatever seems dead, it comes alive. Whatever seems stagnant, it comes alive. But in the last 1 minute we have right now, you know, I just want to take your mind and keep it on the word fellowship. That's a big word for this week and this series. I want us, I believe God wants us to grow in our fellowship with him. Grow in our fellowship with him. Create time, child of God, to talk to him. Create time, child of God, to meditate. To meditate. Bible says in Joshua 1:8, we should meditate. Psalm 1 says, when you meditate, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You will bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves will never wither. Whatever you do will prosper. Don't you go over the scriptures we've read today. Fellowship, a communion. Communion means we talk. We spend time, create time. But meditate, please. Take 15 minutes. The Holy Ghost lives in me permanently. The Counselor is in me permanently. the comforter, the strength that is in me. And you do that 15 minutes minimum every day. Minimum. Begin this journey. Begin this journey. Oh, the greater one lives in me. Just gather the verses. Put them together. 15 minutes. Just talk. Oh, you will see some things begin to change. Marvelous revelations begin to take place in your life. Transformation begin to happen to you. Bless God. And you would never, ever be the same again. Amen. So I believe this blessed you. Go over it. Feel free to share with friends. It will be a huge, huge blessing. All right. Let me encourage you, in case you do not follow on other social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, kindly subscribe on YouTube. Follow on Facebook and also, all right, on Instagram. Sunday, all right. Every Sunday, 5 p.m. Nigerian time, The Influence of the Spirit. It's a weekly episode for 45 minutes. It will radically, greatly, greatly, seriously bless you. All right, so please, let's get into it and really, really, like, get blessed. Amen. All right, so have a very, 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 very glorious weekend. All right, bye. Libra Sunday.